I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. Man, oh man, it took us a few days to get here, but folks, happy Friday. There we go. Happy Friday.
Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me when my life came crumbling down. And I know you're gonna leave me. Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
Yeah.
3, 2.
Got paid. God, I done had a hard week. Now it's time to celebrate.
Woo! Yes! Let's get that. There you go, Sean. Shonda! That's how you bring in a Friday evening. On your way home from wherever you are. That's what I'm talking about, folks. Happy Friday. We got a couple of things that are on the table here, on the agenda that I wanted to talk about. I really enjoyed the conversation, hearing just a little bit of the conversation from my sister, Dr. K. A lot of people are not happy, Demi, about what's going on with the school situation. This is not good. And we want to talk about not necessarily just schools. The big conversation tonight is going to be around the vaccines, how the vaccines should be distributed. Because now they're finding that there is a trend that's growing in this country where the rich are trying to maneuver their way to getting the vaccine first, essentially cutting the vaccine line. We want to talk a little bit about that. But before we get to that, we do want to at least bring you up to date about what's going on as we are officially 5 days away from the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Senator Kamala Harris, because the governor here in Maryland has declared a state of emergency through the presidential inauguration that's happening on Wednesday, January the 20th. Now, if you didn't know, the president that's currently sitting in the White House, Trump is one of them dudes. One of them guys. But he's planning to leave the White House like the morning of the inauguration. But he wants like this big going away party. I don't know. I don't know what's going away party for what? For what, sir? But he wants a big going away party. So he's planning to leave the White House. He's not planning to go to the inauguration. He already made that announcement. His vice president is planning to go, though. Matter of fact, his vice president, Mike Pence, called Senator Kamala Harris and congratulated her and offered her assistance about the situation. You know, just say, hey, you know, I just wanted to, I'm not a sore loser like so-and-so said. Not a sore loser. I just want to, you know, congratulate you and let me know what I can do for you. So the governor here in the state, because there are so many reports out there, folks, around the safety of what's going to happen in Inauguration Day, there are the D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has put out a warning, said, please do not to D.C., and then the governor here is saying don't travel to D.C. for the inauguration. It's all going to be live streamed. It's all going to be on TV, so you don't even need to go. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, I want to talk about the vaccine. We're going to certainly talk about the fact that the Ravens, Sean Don, the Ravens have a big game this weekend. Is that a New York thumb that's hanging down? I mean, you act New York. Man, y'all New Yorkers, y'all trip me out, man. You know why? Because y'all Hey, wait, time out. Don't tell me about no rebuilding stage. Y'all, New York Giants has been rebuilding stage for 25 years, man. When are y'all going to actually put a brick in the ground? Hey, 20 years since the last time. Y'all talking about we rebuilding. Man, please. But the Ravens are going to Buffalo. And so we'll be checking in with our sports contributor, Mikel Ramos, to give us some insight about what we can expect from that divisional playoff game. And we get a little something-something from Trending Topics with Trendy Debbie. There we go. Because she got something special for us to kick off the brand new year. How about that? All right, folks. Let me just share with you very quickly what's going on with the governor as he's talking about this state of emergency. One is that he's asking the White House for a presidential disaster declaration, which is essentially to ask them to reimburse state and local governments in the state for their response to last week's insurrection at the Capitol, as well as support to federal partners and Washington, D.C. during the inauguration preparation. So, yeah, he's looking to get a little recouping of money and resources. Because of those agencies that responded to the Capitol. This situation around the Capitol riot and the Capitol attack is, I mean, we could talk about it. It's so big. It's like an octopus, like a spider. There's just so many legs and tentacles. You know what I mean? It's just, I was reading today, folks, that the Dems, the Democrats, they have some sense as to who might be responsible within their own ranks of Congress might have helped to try to the rioters, the insurrectionists, from even making this move. They have there's some conversation that there was a reconnaissance tour that was taken, that the individuals who were a part of the riot were had come into the Capitol a couple of days prior to that point through visits and everything, and got a tour of the place, which is why how they knew where to go and all of those things. So that's one big thing. So, and then the other part of it is that the FBI had put out some information initially saying that the intent of the rioters was to capture and to assassinate some elected officials. But then they rolled back on that premise, even though they put this in the filings, the Justice Department's put this in their filings for their report. But they rolled back on its premise and they said, well, they really didn't have a strategy. I don't know. They didn't seem to have a strategy. That some may have came in with that, but that wasn't like the overarching theme. And so it's very interesting to see how this situation plays out. Now, my producer Demi and I, we were talking about this because they were initially, the FBI put out the report saying that there are, you know, that every state should make sure that their capital city is well guarded and protected on Inauguration Day. Then the FBI put it out there and saying that, no, based upon their surveillance of information, it looks like the extremists and white supremacists and all of those groups that were involved in the attack on the Capitol are now going to take more energy, put all of their energy into coming to D.C. in some way, shape, or form, and they're not going to be looking at the capital cities. So there's a lot of information out there. I'm sure that many of you have been reading things and coming across news information, but this is all this is stuff from credible sources, folks. I don't just spew something. Hey, I just saw it on YouTube from some guy named Victor. No, this is stuff that's actually being put out there. But all of that to say that the governor here in the state is looking to get prepared for what could be a very unprecedented, historic, and highly challenging inauguration. He is authorizing the Maryland Emergency Management Agency and all of other appropriate state authorities to deploy and coordinate resources to support local jurisdictions. So, you know, for especially like the city of Baltimore, even though we're not the capital of the state, we have a lot of interest in the city. You know that. I know that. So the state is looking to provide some additional support to the city, to Mayor Scott and to some of the, the law enforcement agency, the police department, because we just don't know. We just don't know how the situation is going to pan out, folks. I want to open up the phone lines to get your take on this. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. If you're planning, just share with me if you are planning to look at the inauguration, if you're planning to, if you had plans or if you know people that are trying to make their way to D.C. in some way, shape, or form. You could join me in the conversation or let me know what your take is on how things are moving forward with the inauguration. As I mentioned, President Trump said that he's planning to leave D.C. Trump is looking all sad and stuff about leaving D.C. Yeah, he's planning to leave D.C., folks. And move to Florida. That's where he's going to be spending his days after he leaves the Capitol. And now he's going to have a battle. He's going to have a battle now that the impeachment has kind of gone through the House and has been voted on. It's going to be up to the Senate. There's been some talk about whether the Senate trial should take place on January 19th. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, most likely it's not going to happen. So they're even trying to say, well, maybe it should take place, the day or two after the inauguration. President-elect Joe Biden is saying, that it should really take place after, like that business should take place after he kind of gets some things done around the coronavirus first. He's trying to move this $1.9 trillion coronavirus package. Now, this is not just something he came up on himself. Actually, this is part of a much larger plan that the Democrats had. The Democrats always had a big coronavirus stimulus plan. So they've been trying to push this forward, and now with the president-elect Biden coming into office, they feel like they can make it happen. But he's saying, let's get this business first because there are some agreements, moratoriums, that will end at the end of January. Like for, he's trying to help families with utilities and things. Like some of these moratoriums are about to end because the Trump administration only extended those moratoriums for like 30 days. And so some of these moratoriums are about to end. He's trying to push it into later in the fall of this year. And so he's trying to get some coronavirus stuff taken care of before he moves forward with, this Senate hearing. And so those are the two big ticket items right now for Washington. The impeachment and trial of Donald Trump the coronavirus package. And, folks, let me just share with you. If you did not know, Bernie Sanders, y'all remember Bernie Sanders, the Democrat socialist from Vermont, the presidential candidate. He ran twice for president unsuccessfully. Do you know now he's in charge of the Senate Budget Committee, which is one of the most powerful committees in Washington, that he is going to help shape economic policy of that relates to taxes, that's relating to health care, climate control. Like, he's also one of the, you know, being the chairman, he's also dictating policy and shaping policy around this coronavirus. Did you know that? This is his new job, the Senate Budget Committee chairman. I was blown away when I found that out. I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I think for him being in this role is just as powerful. I mean, I know he's always been a senator. He wanted to be president, but you're in charge of the Senate Budget Committee. And so he's expecting, and there's some great expectations about, you know, the impact of his thought pattern on economic policy. So who knew Bernie Sanders would be put in a position of power under the Joe Biden, within the Joe Biden administration? Who knew? Let's go to the phone lines. I threw out a lot of information. And let's see if you pick it up. See if you pick it up real quick. 410-319-8888. We're talking about the preparation for inauguration and just the security issues. All right, let's go to, I want to hear from Regina. Let's kick it off with Regina this evening. Good evening, Regina. How are you?
Good evening, Taraji. I forgot to wish you a happy new year when I talked to you the earlier part of the week. But happy new year.
Happy new year, Regina.
Thank you. And I was looking for our Friday music. I don't know if I missed it.
You did miss it. I'm going to play it again just for you, though, Regina. I'll play it again.
Now, Taraji, I'm hoping that the inauguration takes place because, number one, it's Dr. King's birthday.
It is Dr. King's birthday.
And it's my mom's birthday, and it's something to really celebrate. So if it happens, I'm going to be at home watching it in my own little home safely. But, Taraji, this is what I wanted to let you and your listeners know. And like I said, I'm like you. I don't go on Google or Yahoo and then call and say, guess what, Taraji? I went to see my primary care last month. I had, you know, just routine. And I just want your listeners to know what she said to me was, you know how once you get the flu shot, it's suggested that you get it every year. Taraji, when we were talking about the vaccination for the COVID-19, and what she mentioned to me, nothing is in place yet. But she said, I believe this will be a shot that we will have to get every year for the rest of our lives.
Wow.
Those two shots is not going to do what it needs to do, because this is going to be a new way of life. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners, and they can do some research and talk to some professionals. And Taraji, I want to stay safe because I was listening to Dr. K.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be one of those who can help and support those little black boys and girls and those little white girls and boys who are going to be left behind because of the school thing, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there if you wasn't familiar. And I'm also on Facebook, so I'm gonna be burning you up on Facebook.
Burn me up, Regina. Burn. Well, yeah.
Great weekend, and I'm gonna wait for my music. I love you.
I love you too, Regina. I appreciate you, and I thank you for that. I really do thank you for that. That's interesting. Taking this thing.
But it's fact. Think about it, Raji. Two shots, and you know everybody gets it, and then after that, it's gonna be another strand coming from somewhere and another.
Man.
So it makes sense, but I'm going to be right there getting it, arm out, hands in a prayer position. I'm going to be right there.
Yeah, we're going to all need prayer. I'm serious. Yeah. We're all going to need prayer. That's no joke. Regina, thank you so much. I love you, too. Thank you so much for checking in and tuning in and being a loyal listener for us for so long. Man, oh, man. That's serious. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, thank you for checking in. What's your take? We kind of put some stuff out on the table, brother. What would you like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't planning on going to the inauguration.
Okay.
But I just wanted to share this about what happened in the Capitol.
Yeah.
If I break into your home,
mm-hmm.
that's breaking and entering.
Mm-hmm.
If I stop you from leaving your home once I enter, I'm holding you hostage. Both of those are federal offenses. As far as I'm concerned, when those people were in that Capitol, they should have been a bus waiting outside along with zip ties. You went in, but you're not going to exit, because if I came to your house and did the same thing to you, the police is not going to pat me on my back and say, "Daryl, be on your way."
Yeah.
So they, as far as I'm concerned, not only did they break and entering, they did destruction, and they held people hostage to the level of federal employed people, even the vice president. If you can hold the United States vice president hostage and walk out as if there's nothing to it,
yeah,
then what is this world coming to?
Hey, Daryl, did you see the report? And I think either the Washington Post or New—I think this was the Washington Post that made this report. Do you know that it took? And I don't know if you are a law enforcement man or not.
No.
But the fact is, when they reported today that the vice president was in the Senate chambers for 14 minutes.
Yes. Hiding.
And that literally. Check this out, Daryl. He was in there for 14 minutes, and then by the time they removed him, his wife, and his daughter from the chambers, they said, and within less than 1 minute did the rioters come in to the Senate chamber.
The vice president hiding.
The vice president was in the space for 14 minutes. And I'm saying, from the time they made the announcement for everybody to clear out, the vice president was still around in this space. He was still around until the rioters came in. They said it was less than 1 minute that as soon as they moved him out, within less than a minute later, boom, the rioters came in. Oh, my God.
This man was held hostage, the second populous person in the country held hostage. And we pat you on your back and send you on your way.
Hey, look, and my thing is, you want, if I was the vice president, I would have been King Petty when it came to Trump. Like, what? They say, "Would you want to invoke the 25th Amendment?" I've been like, "Hell yeah!" This man almost got me killed.
Absolutely.
Loyalty. Loyalty is when a dude stabs you in your back. Loyalty. You want. Loyalty, please. I've been riding with you for four years through your madness, and this is what you do to me. Where's the 25th Amendment? I vote on it myself.
Just that kind of liberty. I don't know, but I'm sure if I did that to you at your home, anybody in their home, I would be down Central Booker on some federal charge.
Brother, please. Yeah, it is. Hey, Daryl, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for checking in. Folks, we're talking about what happened, of course, with the Capitol. Again, the governor has declared a state of emergency for the state of Maryland around the Capitol. The D.C. mayor has said, please, no visitors coming to D.C. There are a number of places like Airbnb and other places that have canceled trips. Those who are trying to come in on Inauguration Day for safety reasons. I mean, that's what it is, you know. That is what it is. And the climate right now in D.C. is so high alert. It's so high alert. And it's just absolutely insane that we are at this point, 5 days before the next president of the United States is sworn into office. Absolutely insane. Folks, we got to take a quick pause when we come back. Elliot, Clarence, Thaddeus, and CeCe, we'd love to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for Hello Friday, I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me when my life came crumbling down. And I know you're gonna leave me. Hello Friday, I've been waiting for you for a long time. 3, 2.
Just got paid. I done had a hard week. Now it's time to celebrate.
Woo! Wow. There it is. That's for you, Regina. Folks, it is officially Friday here on For the Culture on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. We've been we put a few things on the table because the the two big issues of coronavirus and what has been going on in the Capitol has dominated the news and the conversations. And then now we just got word, came across the wire just a few moments ago, that at 4:25 this afternoon, Maryland Senate President Emeritus Thomas V. Mike Miller Jr. passed away peacefully. At his home, he was surrounded by loved ones. He was 78 years old. He survived by his wife, Patty, his son, Tommy, daughters, Amanda, Michelle, Melissa, and Melanie, his sisters, Susan, Cynthia, Melinda, Nancy, and Kim, brothers, Jonathan, David, and Mark, and his 15 grandchildren, and was predeceased by his sister, Judith. He comes from a very large family, and we have just heard that he had passed away. In October of 2019, he stepped down from his post of Senate president due to health issues related to prostate cancer. And then in January of 2019, on the second day of the legislative session, he announced he was fighting stage 4 prostate cancer. At 78, he chose to step down from his Senate seat. He said he thought he could continue on as his mind and his heart are strong, but he said the cancer is all through his bones. Mike Miller is a graduate of the University of Maryland and its law school. He took a bill drafting job in Annapolis in 1971. 6 months later, he won a seat in the House of Delegates. And then in 1975, he claimed a Senate seat, and Miller was the first elected Senate president in 1987. He represented the 27th district for many, many years, and now he has transitioned. So our condolences go to Democratic Senator and his family and the Senate President Emeritus Mike Miller. And I'm sure that you will hear more and more information about, you know, his life, his achievements, his accomplishments, and, you know, how they're going to proceed with the funeral. But that just came across the wire a few moments ago, folks. And as we're talking about, you know, great people, we can't deny the fact that today is the actual birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Sean Dunn. I think that was worth a warm round of applause as we kick off the weekend to go into the official celebration of his work, his life, his legacy on Monday, which is a federal holiday. And we'll be doing our part here at WEAA to honor the life and the legacy of Dr. King. So we want you to stay tuned, you know, throughout the weekend. Most importantly, on Monday, yours truly will be in the studio to talk about the impact of Dr. King and his work and why his work is more relevant now than it has ever been. And so, you know, we want to continue to show our love to Dr. King, of course, to his beloved wife, Mama Coretta Scott King, who is just has been a beautiful beacon She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And, you know, we our hearts and prayers go out to the King family. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to continue to see more of not just the King family, but more young people who are inspired and who take on the mantle of Dr. King. You got to remember, Dr. King was still young when he was killed. He was young. He was less than 40 years old. He's a young man taking on a big mission. And so, you know, his life and his legacy is one for the record books. And I was having a conversation with my minister, and we were talking about his life and legacy. And, you know, regardless of whatever shortcomings he had, it seemed like, you know, the Bible says that because of all the good that you do, your sins are thrown away in the sea of forgetfulness. And that man will always be regarded in high regards for history. I mean, he and his wife is, you can't say nothing bad or anything bad about Mother Coretta Scott King, you know? I mean, that they will always be regarded in high regards. And, you know, it is important that we teach our children about what Dr. King really stood for, his evolution of his politics. And most importantly, he never forgot who he was and where he came from, regardless of all of the accolade, the Nobel Peace Prize, and all of the things that he was blessed to achieve and blessed to gain. But he never forgot his mission of bringing justice, of fighting for justice for those who can't fight for themselves, for being a voice for those who can't speak for themselves. He never forgot that. So we're going to do our due diligence, God willing, on Monday. I know my sister, Dr. K, is going to do some, have some wonderful conversations around the life and legacy of Dr. King. So you don't want to miss out on Monday, kicking off at 3 and continuing through 7 o'clock p.m. Folks, we have been talking. I mean, you know, when you think about 2021, and it's just kind of crossed my mind as we kind of sharing these things with you. You know, when you think about 2021, some people say it's a spillover of 2020. I don't think so. I think this could be an opportunity for some real change to take place, a major reckoning could take place, not just in racial reckoning, but more importantly, a reckoning about who we are as people. And as I'm, you know, reflecting on all that has happened within the Capitol, as we talk about what's happening within the coronavirus, we're talking about celebrating the life of Dr. King. We're talking about the life of Senate President Emeritus Mike Miller. When we talk about things that are happening, there has to be a place that we come to this point of recognizing that there needs to be a change. There needs to be a change. And the change of how we see ourselves and how we see the world is so important. You know, if the Capitol attacks didn't make you think twice about the importance of, quote unquote, having good government, I don't know what would. You know? I mean, that right there, for me, spoke volumes about why it's important for us to have real leadership in politics, real political leadership, real black political leadership, leadership that speaks to the interests of black people. But then you also, once you speak to the interests of black people, you can speak to the interests of the Latino community. You can speak to the interests of the Native American and indigenous and the Asian American community. And you can also speak to the interests of the white community. So it requires, though, that we get to this place of honesty. And it requires for us to shake off the lies. It requires for us to stop consuming, you know, the fake news. And then the fake news is not mainstream media. I mean, yes, there have been moments, there have been times when the media has put out fake news. But I'm just saying that when it comes down to it, folks, we have to get back to a place. We have to not get back to, but we have to get to a place where we are operating from a place of truth. You know, we got to be honest. We got to be honest with ourselves. We got to acknowledge truth. We have to do our best to not just acknowledge it, adhere to the truth, follow it as much as we can, and then be a model of truth. Because out of all of this stuff that has been happening, there are two things that the people have been calling for. Truth and justice. That's it. People want to stop being lied to because that has become the real crisis in this country. The country can't stop lying. The government can't stop lying to its people. It got to stop lying. The country is on a deathbed, and we're seeing it. And if we say, oh, no, the country is great, you're lying to yourself. And then we have to get to a place of justice. We've talked about this. That if we don't get to a place of justice in this country, and I want to share, lift up the words, because I've been lifting up the words of, like, Hillary Clinton. I've been lifting up the words of Colin Powell. And I think that now we're at this point where, regardless of who these words come from, if the words are truthful words, we got to get out of our feelings. But it's Hillary Clinton, though. It's Colin Powell. Even if Minister Farrakhan says it, even if somebody that you probably would deem as controversial or somebody that you don't necessarily agree with, we got to get out of that space that because it comes from them, therefore it's not truthful. Now, that's not the way truth is and justice is. We got to get out of that. That's a very immature look of things. Your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew, children can speak truth. And if you as adults and if I as an adult don't recognize it, then we will find ourselves suffering from the consequences of not listening to that truth, even though it may come from a child. So we do have to come to this reckoning or to this point where we're saying, you know what, the justice that needs to happen in this country is not there. Just like the Trump supporters, they stormed. As crazy as it came across, as wild as their expression be, as violent as it was, they believed that they were doing their due diligence and that they were trying to find justice based on what they thought was truth coming from Donald Trump. In their heart of hearts, they're like, no, I'm fighting for my country. Now, you and I may not agree with that. You and I may say you're crazy or whatever the case may be, but at the root of it, they want justice. They want a redress of their grievances. And the big thing that I think that that we have to keep in mind, that like the minister said, that when you have political leadership who leadership is not rooted in justice, then that spills over into the people. That's what happens when you have political leadership who is not rooted in truth. Then that spills over into the people. And that becomes problematic, folks. That becomes problematic on so many levels. And at this point, we have to get out of that place. We have to really, really get out of that place if we're talking about making some real progress. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves constantly at war. Constantly. And so I just wanted to bring that up as we are having this conversation. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. Elliot, thank you for your great patience. What's your take? We got Elliot on the line?
Exactly what I want to say.
Go ahead, brother.
You said something. You know, I ain't no kiss butt, but you said something the other night that really kind of blew my mind. You said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. About, it's like people are starting to look at Santa Claus And I shared this with one of my colleagues, a white boy, Italian boy, and he said the same thing. He said, we're looking at people like Santa Claus. Like when Santa Claus, people found out that Santa Claus wasn't real, mm-hmm. that people just kind of freaked out and just went bizarre, you know, when kids. And just say, one of my peers, you know, I'm a former teacher, and he said the same thing. It's like people just, when you blow their fantasies away, they can't handle it. But that's not the only thing for our idea. I have to say this is really, really important. And bear with me, as you always do. Thank you mm-hmm. for your patience. Friday, I went to City College in the 70s, okay? Mm-hmm. I went to one of the oldest high schools. I'm a school teacher, okay, retired school teacher. And that's some old bungling old man. I went to City College, and our rival was Poly Tech. And I grew up going to those rivalries, every City Poly game. Used to be Thanksgiving when Mayor Schaefer was the mayor with Baltimore. And Mayor Smoke was also the mayor, and he also went to City College.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Horizon, I know I kind of know you know where I'm trying to take this. City College was City and Poly, the oldest, literally the oldest rivalries in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Army and Navy game. What I'm trying to say is this, Faraji. We still maintain some type of allegiance over all those years. City Poly did, Army and Navy did, over all these years. So we can do that internally. I'm talking about on a high school level now.
Mm-hmm.
If we did that back then, Faraji, once again, think about this, bro. High school level, and you're telling me that you can't do this on a national level? Come on, baby. I don't want to go there, but I had to. See, a lot of people, I'm going to say this way. That's the best way I can say it, Faraji. I went to City College, vice president of my class in 1975. You know, people are just saying, oh, man, hell, I know how he was. He was a rabble, maybe so. But also one of the most decent people around because we still pulled everything together between City and Poly. And to this day, we became some of the best friends around throughout this whole city and state of Maryland. City and Poly, the oldest rivalries in this whole freaking state.
Mm.
Who still, if we can do that in this little city, this little state, you tell them we can't do that nationally, please, come on, give me a break.
Right. And you right. Come, right.
Army and Navy
right.
can't do it. Give me a break, Faraji. We did it at City Poly. We did it when I was a teenager in the 70s. You tell me you can't do it now? That's all I'm going to say, baby.
I appreciate you, Elliot. Thank you so much for checking in. You're absolutely correct. Let's go to Thaddeus. Thaddeus, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Good evening, man. A couple of things. Congratulations about Martin Luther King, because I was thinking yesterday is his birthday.
Yes, sir.
Somebody to the senator who passed. I guess I'm going to start with, my mother told me years ago, that, and I don't know if I share this, that they are good people and bad people. So basically, I think that people, like you said, they believe or think what they think. But in my opinion, there's still a group of the people that support Trump that know that what he's saying is wrong. There's a lot of them that do
that.
Yeah, especially the senators. When you hear that you had, like, doctors, lawyers, these people like that, they know that the election was fake. Now, there is a lot of them that do believe it, but any logical, practical thinking person, number one, if you had, which we do, more Democratic voters than Republicans, they would know that, number one, it was fake. Last time, as we know, 3 million more voted for Hillary. This time, 7 million more. But even deeper than that, you mentioned, like, fake news. Fox, and I think it was One America and another one, that when they had put out about the company with the machines that hadn't worked properly, gave false information, well, that company threatened to sue them. So Fox News, I think One America and another station, they retracted that. So if you really believe something, you're not going to retract it. What I believe and I say, just like what I say when I call in, it's nothing nobody can do to get me to retract it because I believe it. And a news source, you're supposed to check, double, triple check. So, number one, we know that that's bull. They don't believe it. They say it. They put it out there. His supporters, a lot of them, I would compare to being in love, where you aren't seeing straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that Shaggy song? My girlfriend caught me red-handed.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
that's one thing. Because how can you see a man? Let's just go back to last Wednesday, the crazy insurrectionist stuff that happened. The dude said, I'm going to walk down the Capitol with you. He didn't do it, right?
Right.
So he's lied to them. He's lied many, many times. But yet they still support him, right? So that's a combination, in my opinion, of two things. Like I said, those that are in love with him and those that are just using him as an excuse to get what he wants, what they want. They want to do that violence. They are racist. They want to stay in power and keep that control. So they're using Trump because, again, as we know, and I think some people have mentioned, he's 74. He's going to be your only president forever. You're never going to vote for anyone after him. What are you going to do when he dies? If you believe that bull he put out that only I can fix it, which he did say among many other lies that he told. They can't. Logical people can't totally believe it. Like I said, some people do. They are just that blind. But also, if you hear all the things that was said on TV, and they watch Fox News, so if you hear them take that statement back, then how could you then still say what he said is truthful? If he said he's going to walk down there with you, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
If he says when a black man protests against him, back in the day, if he said that, he would have went out here on a stretcher. If you punch that man, I'll pay your lawyer fee, or I'll get you out of jail. He didn't do it. So he's not doing what he said, and a lot of them know it. Some of them just don't care. They want to do it. On his part, I heard the staffers in his office said that he knew that he didn't win. He knew it before it happened. So he's using his followers because, as you know, he wants to get the money to pay for his legal fines and just get money as he's done the whole time that he's been there, just millions that he got from his campaign
funds before.
And it's like, it's crazy stuff. Some people, I met a young man who said, well, it's like that things are, you know, politicians do that. No. I've been around quite a few years. I can go back for over 40 years, more than that, really. But I was old enough to know totally what was going on. Never seen a president that, when he won, people all over the world protested against it. Not just the United States, all over the world.
Yeah.
When he lost, people all over the world celebrated. So most people realize that it's totally different, the danger that he does. And the other thing I'm going to say that I don't really go into a lot of, you know, conspiracy theories and stuff, but I know yesterday I heard on your show where you said that someone mentioned that when you called in about QAnon that you get someone to own a hog farm or something over in the Middle East. Well, that guy, Ali Alexander, I didn't know he was, but I saw him on TV when they were, you know, when they were riding, doing the insurrection, taking over the Capitol. I'm like, that's kind of strange. You got, like, a black-looking guy out there with all these racist people with Confederate flags. That's weird, right? So I tried to check him out, and it says he was born either 84 or 85, which, number one, you should know your exact date you're born. Number two, I said, well, was he born in America? And it just comes up U.S. citizen. So I'm wondering, is that stuff fake? I don't know. Is it something he put out there? But he came in power during the Tea Party time. He has worked with Roger Stone. He's taken a picture with Trump. His info was retweeted after he said Kamala Harris wasn't a real black like he was. And
yeah.
So it's something about that. It makes you wonder then, is that, like y'all were talking about yesterday, something they put in the Middle East to come over here? Because what is the chances that white racist supremacist people, if he's, as he said, one of the lead organizers of the event, are going to be following a black man that looks like that? And he identifies
that as black. I got to stop you right there, but I don't know. I mean, and we can go into the weeds with this. We can go down to that rabbit hole like Alice in Wonderland, and we can get into a place where we're trying to get into this mentality, this mental space of trying to figure all of these things out. Folks, I'm just saying that we got to keep our heads clear. Because this rabbit hole is deep. When you start getting into some, I mean, look, they talked about the guy who was wearing the horns in the Capitol. He had was bare chested, wearing the horns, wearing the fur, Jake and Jelly. And Jake and Jelly is a QAnon supporter. And he believes that he's an alien. And I'm not even joking. It was reported that, you know, he's in the hands of the of federal agents right now, and he believes he's an alien. Come on, man. You know? And I mean, it's just we have to get back to a place of sanity. Let me go to get my final call before we take our next break. Clarence, talk to me. What's your take?
Raji, one thing about security I mentioned at first is that Governor Hogan said that he would highly suggest against anybody coming to the Maryland State Capitol armed. He put that, he made that very plain, you know, like, you know, it'll be hazardous to anyone's health if they come near the Capitol armed. Faraji, when you speak about truth, right, you have to be, even some sources, and I'll give you an example of this, and somebody over the airways said that the mayor of Washington had called for troops and she was denied. Then, you know,
you talking about during the Capitol attack?
Right. Then somebody posts a letter that says that, and quoting her, she only requested the National Guard for directing traffic and minor duties unarmed because she did not want the optics of when the Black Lives Matter thing. And when I saw that, I was like, whoa, this is something else. But I initially jumped on the fact on hearing that she was being refused. But then she's allowed to come back on Sunday on one of the shows and roll that back. But she did not. They did not post the entirety of the letter as that newspaper, trusted source newspaper, did. So there's a game about what went on there and who did what and why the lapse. Now the media is shaping the narrative as the FBI is investigating as to whether or not some congressmen or they were helped in this insurrection.
Yep.
Wait, let's back that up. You're investigating the possibility. Any, you know, there's some things you can prove in court, you know, and then there's some things any crazy person can see. Okay, so, you know, that's how the game is played, Faraji.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Hey, Clarence, I got to let you go. We got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we will see how things work out. I mean, there's so much that we need to discuss about it. But the fact is, folks, let's keep our eyes on the ball. Let's keep truth and justice at the forefront. Let's stay clear-headed and open-minded about how this thing is going to move forward. And most importantly, let's keep ourselves in the game. I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the CIAA. We'll talk about that. Then we'll check in with Mikel Ramos and Demi about trending topics. Still a lot to get to. Stay riding with me. It's Full of Culture on WEAA.